The portion of scripture which we hope to wish to read to you this afternoon can be found in the book in the Gospel according to John from the 21st chapter. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 21, beginning with the 15th verse to the end. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth a disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, thou before whom we will all one day stand, in that great judgment to give an account unto thee for all that we have done, whether it be good or evil. Wilt thou remember these two young friends that have also stood in thy house in this afternoon hour before thy face and before the entire congregation to confess that they are sorry for their sin, that they have no more desire to walk in that way, O Lord, that thou may forgive, that thou wouldst wash it away, and that thou wouldst blot it out of thy book. For if the weight of our sin it would be cast, as thy servant did say, into the depth of the sea, then surely it would sink to the bottom, and it could be found no more. Wilt thou look upon them? O give them to see something of thy goodness, of thy mercy, and of thy grace, unto such as we are, who transgress against thee days without number. O Lord, remember not the sins of our youth. Remember not the sins of today. And wilt thou wash and cleanse from all our iniquity? We cannot stand before thee. Thou art so righteous. Thou art so holy. And we would only be condemned to a great and never-ending eternity, except that it was for thy only begotten Son, who has stood in the judgment as one who was guilty, and yet he was so innocent. Oh, that we all together may be given blessed views of thee and of thy mediatorial work. Oh, that it may become precious unto us, and that we may see therein that there is a way that we also may be accepted of thee, and that our sin may be forgiven, that it may be washed and cleansed, and that we may be made into a new person, that we may be made into a new man, that we may walk uprightly before thee, that we may receive a new heart, O Lord, that we may be a little lifted up, as we have heard in this morning hour, above all the things of time and of sense, where thou art above all the strife, where there is nothing of the consequences of sin that do afflict thee anymore, but they are all yet upon us while we go through the Meshach of this world. Oh, that we may be a little in this afternoon lifted above it all, that we may be given to see something of thee, and that and thy great glory, that thou wouldst feed thy people. For thou knowest the place where they do sit, also in thy house in this afternoon. Oh, that thou may supply for all of their needs, which are all so many as we go through this world. For thou knowest the heart and all that lives therein. Oh, and they desire something of thy presence and thy communion, but can understand that thou wouldst never look upon them again. O Lord, that thou wouldst give a little surprise in this day, a little visit from above, a little melting of the hardness of the heart, a little drawing again that we cannot give unto ourselves, and that all that drags us down here below may be cut off a little while, that thou wouldst take away what hinders, and that thou wouldst give us to see the beauty of thee, and all that thou hast done for thy church, wilt thou give to those who have never received any pricking of the heart. Oh, that the hard hearts in this day may be melted to pieces under thy great goodness and grace and mercy. Oh, that thy law may enter in, that those that are alive may die, and that those that live in the shadow of death, that they may be made alive. Lord, look upon all thy people. Feed them from above. Open the windows of heaven with the storehouses of Joseph, which are full, and do give out a little bit of that corn that the brothers of Joseph did so need. Lord, then they had to come in the guilt first. Oh, that thou wouldst give it also in the life of each and every one of us. And wilt thou be with us then in this hour? Remember all that cannot be with us, in the needs and in the cares, in all the trials of mind and of body, of old age, of sickness, of weakness, of frailty, of the needs of the body, the needs of the mind. Those that suffer from addictions, thou knowest their place. Help them, O Lord, as thou alone art able. Remember those that are handicapped, and all those that have needs that are hidden from others, who feel the loneliness in this world. Oh, that thou would be not a God afar off, but that thou wouldst be a God nearby also unto them. Wilt thou look upon us in this hour, Lord, that thou may remember us in the preaching, strengthen us in our weak body, if it could please thee more and more. But give us also more instruction out of thy word, that we may know how to bring it in the midst of our flock, and that thou couldst use us as a little instrument yet in thy holy fingers, that sinners may be born in Zion, that the hearts may be pricked, and that thy people may be fed. Forgive and take away our many sins, and keep us from sin. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 201, stanzas 1, 2, 5, 6, and 7. God loveth the righteous. His goodness is sure. He never forsaketh the good and the pure. Yet once my faith faltered, I envied the proud. In doubt and disquiet, my spirit was bowed. 1, 2, 5, 6, and 7 of Psalter 201. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. So we have heard out of the mouth of Simon Peter. And that was received by the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, he knows the heart. He has planted that love in the heart as a seed that shall never die. Even though it is sorely tried, even though that it can seem to come so very low, so that people themselves can fear that it does not even exist. But the word love in the Bible that is used also in another way. Thus, it is not only a noun, it is not only a thing, it is not only something that is given in the heart, but it is also used as a verb. Our children, our young people know what that is. That means it is a word by which we are admonished to do something. Thus we read, husbands, love your wives. That means that love that must show forth itself, it must manifest itself, and it must come out in the actions. Thus the Lord Jesus says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And so we read it also of Peter, when he says, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Then the Lord is also giving him an injunction. We read this in John 21, and we wish to consider it out of the 22nd verse. The 22nd verse, only the last part, three words, follow thou me. So far the words of our text, follow thou me. Christ's command to Peter in two thoughts. First, the substance of this command, that is, follow me. Second, the personal nature of this command, he says, follow thou me. Thus Christ's command to Peter, first in its substance, follow me, and second in its personal nature, follow thou me. Follow me. What does that mean? Children, you sometimes do that in your play. You follow one another. Thus, if you will follow, you come behind me. You follow in my footsteps. You follow in my path. You go in the same direction. You go in the same way that I go. In the Bible, that means to become my disciple, to become my follower, to become one who imitates me. To whom did the Lord Jesus say that? He said that to Peter. You say, is Peter not already the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did not Peter already follow the Lord Jesus? Indeed. But we have heard that Peter, he has also denied the Lord Jesus three times, that he said he did not know who that the Lord Jesus was. Peter, he had a special character. That was a character which was very bold. It was very forward, much more forward than the other disciples. But Peter was a man, we can read that he also shrank He shrank back. He shrank back from what? He shrank back from suffering. The Lord Jesus had spoken of that suffering before. And Peter said, not so. He rebuked the Lord Jesus. The church is not easily reconciled to go in the way of suffering. The Lord Jesus says it is through much tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of God. But even God's church desires to go in a different way. They desire to go in a way which is an easy path to heaven. Does that mean that there is no love? We have heard that it does not. Peter's confession, that was a true confession. The Lord Jesus has received it, and the Lord Jesus, he has known the heart. But even as death, as the consequence of sin that is not natural to us, so also suffering is not natural to us. Suffering, children, that is always just a little bit of death. Do you ever think about that? In olden days, when the medicines were not like they were today, then when we got sick, then we got very afraid. Today we think always there is some medicine, there is a doctor, there is a procedure, there is an operation. But sickness is in itself always a little bit of death, and it ought to remind us of that death. Thus, that suffering that is so against our nature, and that church also must be brought to acquiesce, to agree to that way of suffering, to that path, to follow. Follow me. Christ came into the world to suffer. He came into the world to die for his people. Thus, the church that does not need to die in order to merit anything. The Lord Jesus has himself said that this is finished. But the way of that church that is still leading through that wilderness. By Jeremiah, the Lord said to Barak, seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. But thy life, he says, will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whithersoever thou goest. That was the way, that was the path also of Christ. We can read how that the people came and they would take him by force to make him a king. And when he perceived this, he went into a mountain alone. Thus, he has rejected the kingship of this world. And he has said unto Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. He went in a different way in this world. Follow me. Peter shrank from suffering. He shrank from suffering even at the word of a maid, and yet the love in his heart that was not diminished. But Christ, he tells Peter here, what was laying before him? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And then John gives an explanation of it. He says, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Thus the Lord Jesus, he uses a picture. When a man, boys and girls, he went on a journey and he wore his long robes, then he would gird up his loins so that he could walk more easily upon the road. And the Lord Jesus, he uses that picture of Peter as one who may go just where he likes when he is young. And then what happens when a man is old? Well, then he stretches out his hands and he asks someone else because he is not able to walk. And so he asks someone else to help him. And the Lord Jesus says, that is the way it also shall be with you, Peter. When you become old, then you will stretch out your hands and another shall gird thee. That is, another shall bind thee, gird thee with cords, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. You will be carried to the executioner and be carried to the place of execution, whither thou wouldest not. That is, to your death. Thus, death that also remains unnatural. A man goes to that death against his will, especially a violent death, as it would be for the Apostle Peter. Thus, why does the Lord Jesus say this to Peter? Well, he says this to prepare him for what is coming, in order that Peter may be settled in his mind for what he is to expect in the future. And he gives him a special injunction. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Why? Because he could follow him? No. But he would follow him. He would go in that way, and Christ says, you must now be reconciled unto the way in which I will lead you. So it will be a great comfort for Peter when he has to go forward and experience for himself a way which was against his flesh, that was a way of suffering, a way from which he recoiled. That the Lord Jesus says, Peter, this is a way in which I have gone before you. You are only following me. We often say that the grave is sanctified by the burial of Christ. And that is true. But so is the way to the grave. The way to the grave as the way of trial, as the way of affliction, as the way of suffering, that is also sanctified by him. And wherein he says unto his church, follow me. We must be careful, because the way of the church is not in a particular way all the same, but in a general way, it is the same. And the Lord Jesus says it here to Peter. He says, verily, verily. He says, truly, truly. Thus he says to his church that they must count on it in order that they may lay up for it. You say, how can that church lay up for it? Christ, he says, follow me, be prepared to go in that way of decreasing, that you are not discouraged at it, as if that you are actually in the wrong way. Because he says that way that goes through death, it goes, Peter, against all of your natural inclinations. But though it goes through death, it does not end in death. Because when you will follow me also further, then you must follow even through the resurrection from the dead. Follow me. You must go further to that time also when I rise from the dead. And as we have heard in this morning, to that time when I am also ascending into heaven and I am sitting at the right hand of God, then no, you cannot follow me in a physical way yet, but you must follow me. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Follow me. You must follow me further yet to look for me, to wait for me, when I will also come again, that you may look for me with expectation. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Such a watching, such a waiting, such a following of me, that will go a long way when you are going through this world to make you bold. More bold, Peter, than you have been. It will make you bold to suffer for my name's sake. It will make you bold to follow me, despising the shame and to not run from the cross. Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayed thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? That brings us to our second thought, that is the personal nature of this command. What shall this man do? Peter, we read, he turns himself about. How little thought does a man give to the word of the Lord before that he is turning himself? Before that he is turning himself about and he is looking around him. The Lord Jesus spoke to Peter. Peter had so much to contemplate because there was so much substance in the word of the Lord for Peter. But scarcely has the Lord Jesus spoken, and Peter is turning himself around and he is looking at John. Congregation, how much consideration do we give to the word? With application to ourselves. How is it, young people, do we say that that is a word for my father? Do you say that is a word for my mother? Do you say those are words that I cannot yet understand? Then I will listen to this when I become older. Certainly, it is not a bad thing when we take care also for the soul of our wife, of our husband, of our children, of our parents, of our family, of our congregation, even of the men of the world. That is all the love that should live within our heart and the concern for the things that are most important. But there is here also a sinful curiosity about things that do not belong unto us. And this is here what the Lord Jesus is condemning. Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? What shall this man do? What shall this man do?" Our Heidelberg Catechism that speaks about the suffering of Christ and the time of the suffering of Christ. When did Christ suffer? You know the answer, children. When did Christ suffer? You know what it says in our catechism? That says all the time that he was here upon the world, on the earth, but it says especially at the end of his life. Especially. What does that word mean? Especially. Well, that makes a distinction. It says, yes, there was suffering before the end of his life. But then there was a special suffering, a suffering of an increased degree, a greater suffering at the end of his life. So there was a difference in the suffering of Christ, but indeed that suffering began even when he was born. Thus he was born in and laid in a manger, in a stable, in poverty, in affliction, in the amongst the lowest that is considered in this world. He had to flee. He was persecuted also even as a little child. And thus he had to suffer the consequences of sin for those 30 years. But there was a much greater increase in his suffering in the last 3 years of his life, when he began to preach, and when he began to speak those doctrines which were not according to the flesh of his hearers. It was a way of death. It was a way of suffering. It was a way of decreasing, which he preached. That John, he had to decrease. John himself said, and the Lord, he had to increase. That was that same message. That was a message that men hated. And it was a message for which the Lord Jesus was also hated. He was persecuted for this. And thus, who can rightly fathom the suffering that he has endured in the end of his life? The persecution, the trial, the suffering of the mind, the weight of the sin of his church, so that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death, condemned as an innocent man, to be brought to that painful cross, and to come even into death itself. What shall this man do? There is not one of that true church that is not going to follow in the way of Christ. Christ himself says that it is through much tribulation that we must enter into that kingdom of God. And yet, the severity and the nature of the suffering of God's church is varying. Even as the suffering of Christ did vary in its intensity and in its nature from the beginning of his life even unto the end of his life. Elimelech did not want to suffer. And when the Lord laid affliction on his people, And when he brought a famine in the land, and when there was want of bread, then Elimelech says, I will not suffer. And so he fled from that suffering, and he fled from the people of the Lord, and he went down into Moab. But what a deep way that the Lord led him so that his wife, she returned, saying, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. In one day, then we see the suffering that Job had to suffer. But we see the trial also of Hannah. And the trial of Hannah that was of a very greatly different nature and intensity of suffering. But who is it that laid that burden upon Hannah? Was it not the Lord himself who knows best what is necessary for her? And what do we read of Samuel himself? Then also the nature of his suffering was again in a different way, because we read that he mourned for Saul all his days. And there are parents also in our midst who know what this kind of mourning is. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? What is that to thee? That is my prerogative. To determine all the things for my people. I am their master. I am their Lord. And I can give one a way that is easier than another. And I can lay upon another a heavier burden, or I can take away one of mine into glory in his childhood, and I can leave another to have to remain in that church militant until that he is of gray hairs. There is none that is able to dispute with me, because I do as I please. But that means also the church, that the church, they have no place to begin to compare. To begin to compare the dealings of the Lord with themselves to the dealings of the Lord with others, even others of his people, so that they would be in any way discouraged, as if they do not follow him and they are not in that way, because their way is not as heavy as the way of someone else. Nor should they for such a reason be amiss in their duty. As the Lord Jesus says, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. That is now their work. Let us sing 388, 1, 2, and 3. To thee, O Lord, I humbly cry. To thee my supplication make. To thee I bring my sad complaint. To thee my bitter grief I take. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 388.
Thank you.
follow thou me. What question plagues the church more than the question, am I truly following him? Am I in the right way? Do I go on the right path? Am I on the narrow way? Or am I on the broad way? What is the cause of the trouble that is living in their heart? That is the difference between their expectations and the reality of that new life. If there was one thing that the disciples could not receive from the Lord Jesus, the 3 years that they walked with him in this world, if there's one thing that they did not understand, it was that the salvation of the church that lay on the other side of death. The Lord Jesus said it to them often. He spoke about it often. But we read time and again that the disciples did not understand. When we look back, then we may see that he said it so plainly, and yet they did not comprehend it. We read that the Lord Jesus cured a lunatic boy. He cast out the devil. The disciples could not do it. For lack of prayer and fasting, said he. And the people, we read, they were amazed at the power of God. And we read, while those people, they are all wondering, and the disciples too, at that great power, and what do you think was in the heart then of those disciples? Then there is a beating heart, because then they think, well, now is the time that he will come to his glory. Now is the time when he will sit upon the throne, when the people, they are amazed, the people are wondering, and now the people, they will set him up as king. And it is while these people, they are all amazed, and while those people are all wondering, the Lord Jesus turns and he speaks to his disciples. And he says to them, let this sink down in your ears, he says, that the Son of Man shall fall into the hands of men. Let it sink down in your ears. And then we specifically read, but they understood not that saying. And it was hid from them that they perceived it not. We can say to that young church, let this sink down in your ears. What is the way that lies before you? It is a way of decreasing. It is a way that goes through death. We can say, let it sink down in your ears, but they do not understand it. As it was with the disciples then, so is it today with the Church of God, that this is a matter that must be learned by experience. follow thou me. And in the way of experience, it is understandable that the church that is often thinking that they are actually in the wrong way. Reverend Lemine, he said, God's people, they go backwards to heaven. That means, young people, that in their perception, backwards, that is exactly the wrong way. It is going with me exactly the opposite of the way that it ought to be going. What was it for the disciples? Why the disappointment? Because they said up and the Lord Jesus says down. David says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And what became of it? What became of it? The church, they can do nothing but try to uphold themselves. Their nature, which they do not lose, their nature forbids them to do anything else. The Lord Jesus says, he that shall save his life shall lose it. And he that shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. But he does not say that to lose it is lying in their own power. No, even the devil knows better. Because he says, skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. And so when you hear, young people, when you hear in our day a Christianity that says you must give it over, what is that? What man in his right mind will give himself over? A man does not do this. There is a great difference between me staring death in the face or death staring me in the face. Man does not give himself into judgment and into condemnation. That is the singular love of Christ himself for his church. The Lord brings his people into the judgment. It is the judge who calls his people before his throne to give an account before him. That is not a people that condemn themselves. No, the law condemns them. And it is the strictness of justice that is demanding their death. That was the way of Christ. Follow thou me. Before his death, the Lord Jesus said to the disciples that whither I go, ye cannot follow me now, but ye shall follow me afterwards. It was not necessary for the disciples to follow Christ into that death that he would die for his church. They could not follow him in such a death. That is why he came. That is why he came as a substitute. But the benefit of that substitutionary work cannot be experienced in the heart of the church, unless that the church is, as he said, following him afterwards. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. And they will follow him in that way of experience. Paul, he says, the commandment that was ordained unto life. Is there people that see that commandment as ordained unto life? Did you ever see that, children? The command. What was the command of the Lord? What was the promise of the Lord upon the command to obey his whole word? What is the promise of the Lord? That is life. It was ordained unto life. That is what is seen by that young church. What is it that separates the Lord and my soul? That is disobedience. That is sin. He is holy. I am unholy. What is the desire? Take away that separation. O Lord, appear, show thyself, reveal thyself unto me, that I may not sin. No, I must put away that sin. And Lord, I will walk before thee with a perfect heart. When wilt thou come unto me? The commandment which was ordained to life. And now what does Paul say? He says, I found it to be unto death. Is that your experience? Do they then agree to die? What do you think? Is such a man then ready to die? Is such a man then ready to be condemned? It is the Spirit alone. It is the Spirit alone that can bring a man to agree with that condemnation of the Lord. What is the weight that is laid in that balance by which that people are coming on the Lord's side? That is the attributes of God. That is the weight. We read of Moses. He says, Lord, what wilt thou do unto thy great name? The honor of the Lord. Blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book. For thy honor. That was the way of Christ. That is where the Lord, he is bringing some of his people. What did Christ say? What shall I say? He said, save me from this hour that is coming. Save me from this death. Save me from this suffering. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Thus that agreement only because of the honor and the glory of his Father. Follow thou me. Of ourselves, we do not know what it means. There was a man, he came to the Lord Jesus, and he said to him, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That was good. What did the Lord Jesus say to him? He said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Man, you do not understand. My way is a way that decreases. My way is a way that goes through the death. And those that follow me, they will have to follow me. Also, in the way of experience, they will have to follow me through that death. Can they do that? No, but they shall do it. And now this word of Christ, follow thou me, that shall be to them a comfort in that way wherein they are led. because as it is decreasing, then they may know. When everything is brought to death in their life, then they may know that they are only following. It is not a strange way, but it is a way in which he has gone before. And it is a way that does not end in death. They cannot see it. They cannot see it. But they shall see it. Because when it goes through the death, then it follows also in the resurrection. Wait on the Lord. Oh, have we never seen anything of that light? Do we look with longing, in discouragement, as everything is decreasing and as the Spirit of the Lord, he takes everything away? And you say, it goes wrong, it goes wrong, it goes wrong. Oh, there is a way that is behind it. You cannot see it, but it is there. Hope in the Lord. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The resurrection of Christ, that was as sure as his death. His coming alive, that was at the hand of his Father. It was at his own hand, even in the death. And it was by the Spirit of the Lord. He is the first fruits. God's people, they look for life. They experience death. But they shall receive the life. And it will be such a surprise as it was a surprise unto the disciples. The expectation that comes in the grave. The expectation that is finally lost, lost, lost. And when so a man may follow, may be brought to follow, then comes the resurrection. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou remember thy people, because thou knowest how that it goes, and they are as opposed as thy servant Peter. It cannot go this way. Lord, thou sayest, follow. And we cannot follow, but wilt thou keep us in the way? And wilt thou give a little encouragement therein? And wilt thou give to know something of that life that is in thy dear Son? Reveal thyself, O Lord. Bless thy church. Make us each and every one a true member thereof. And wilt thou bring us safely home? Help us in the week to come. Each one has their own labors, the mothers in the home, the fathers in their labors in the fields, and in whatever labors we are in this life. Wilt thou supply, bless, and prosper our ways. But give us meditations of thee. Stop us on our mad career. And give thy word a place that it has no place in by nature. Help us as a consistory. And when we hope to meet once again, wilt thou be on our right and on our left in every decision that we must make? Remember those who hope to be united together in that bond of holy matrimony. And wilt thou be also amongst them as thou didst come into that wedding in Cana of Galilee. Help us also to do this work. Forgive and take away all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen. 421, 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. Though passing through a vale of tears, thy grace, O God, to him appears with winged hope and power impelling. And what follows, 3 and 4 of Psalter 421. announce once again that Darcy Nordegraff and Shailen Kreft hope to be united in holy matrimony this coming Friday, May 4th at 1 o'clock p.m. Lawful objections should be brought to the consistory by this Wednesday, May the 2nd. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.